MashaAllah, those brothers participating, please come closer, inshallah. And those who are joining online, can close the doors, inshallah. Please come closer. So every night we have new guests, just to remind everyone about the theme. Alhamdulillah, every year we have nightly tafsir sessions with different themes. Last year we had the Ya Ayyuhal Ladhina Amanu series. Every night a different direct address from Allah to the believers, or those who believe. And likewise we had the divine directives. One year we had about, that was the directive from Allah Ta'ala. Then we had about fiqh rulings, ayat of ahkam. And we had asbabun nuzul, the ayat concerning which they are different stories. So this year, alhamdulillah, we're doing Quranic du'as. So this is has been, inshallah, I hope, a spiritually rejuvenating journey through these du'as for everyone, as I myself have been finding it to be such a rich, enriching experience going over these du'as every night. And the du'as of different Anbiya alayhi salam, different du'as taught to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It adds so much meaning to when we are making du'a. This is the month of du'a. Time of suhoor is du'a. Time of iftar is du'a. The day is du'a and the night is du'a. And now we are learning about these du'as. Could not have been a better time. But du'a wa mukhul ibadah, the essence of ibadah. So again, we went through Surah Fatiha, Surah Baqarah, du'as of Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana, all of these du'as. And now du'a of Zakariya alayhi salam, du'a of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Let me go through this. And du'a of Istiqamah. Let's get to the du'a for tonight. Astaghfirullah. So as I announced, tonight we are going to be talking about the du'a of Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala khatwil anbiya wal mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa ba'd. All the anbiya alayhi salam by default are beloved prophets of Allah Ta'ala, beloved creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not only the awliya of Allah, they are the level beyond the awliya of Allah, they are the anbiya. Nevertheless, there are different sifat, different attributes that each Nabi is known for. If Ibrahim, Adam alayhi salam is known for his tawbah, for crying for 40 years, and then repenting to Allah from the mistake that happened in Jannah. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is known for his utter submission to the will of Allah in all conditions. Ismail alayhi salam for his sacrifice. Nuh alayhi salam for his steadfastness in da'wah for 950 years. Isa alayhi salam for his zuhud, etc. Yusuf alayhi salam for his beauty. And the name of Ayyub alayhi salam is synonymous with, everyone knows as general basic understanding within every ummati, is that this Ayyub alayhi salam, when we say his name, first thing comes to everyone's mind is the sabr. Immense sabr. His sabr was like beyond anyone else in the history of humanity. And the pinnacle of sabr. He's a personification. It's like you take the sifa of sabr personified in human form is the form of Ayyub alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with health, with wealth, with family, with children. All of his sheep and all of his cattle, all of his camels, different diseases broke out. Enemies came, robbed them, snatched them from him, stole them from him. Others, the remaining, died off. All of his children, some narrations mention 7 or 9 boys were in a line sleeping. The whole roof fell down, collapsed on them. They all died, one shot. All the boys died. And then he had his own physical body is what remains. It was inflicted with disease. And such a disease that continued for, in some narrations, 7 years, 9 years, 11 years. Bottom line, it was a long period of time. The scholars of tafsir mentioned that some of these details from the Isra'iliyat and the Talmud and the commentaries of the Torah they go into these details of the nature of his sickness, that they were, na'udhu billah, worms eating through his body, etc. But the scholars of tafsir from the Quran, our mufassirun, they say that yes, he had a disease. Yes, it was painful, and he had left the town and he was living alone, with the exception of his wife who stood by him the entire time. His wife's name was Rahma, and she was again Rahma, mercy personified. She was a mercy for him. She stood by him during all of these tests and trials, when he was rich and when he became poor, when he was healthy and became sick, and when he was very handsome, and then afterwards when he was going through this difficult time, she was with him the entire time. But the scholars of tafsir say that such Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected the anbiya from any such condition or sifa that would cause people to turn away from them and to feel disgusted by them. So he had sickness, but when you would see him, you would rather feel compassion for him, sorry for him, and that he's going through the pain. And the disbelievers, of course, or those who mocked him and they were ridiculing him, they would do that in the best of times too. But inherently, the prophets, alayhi wasalam, all of them, they'll be saved from any such condition that would turn people away, turn people off. Those who have fitra salima, who are on the natural disposition. Those who are bent on denial, they will deny the most beautiful Prophet of Allah as well. So he had a very long period of sabr. And then finally, he made a dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him relief right here in this dunya. So it is a very beautiful ending after such a long period of test and trial. So this story comes in the Quran in two places in more detail, and there are other two places where just his name is mentioned. One is Surah Al-Anbiya and one is Surah Al-Sad. What's the difference between the two? In Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning his dua, which is the highlight for us, so that we can learn the dua and we can also make the same dua, inshaAllah. And the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how it came upon him, is mentioned in Surah Al-Anbiya. In Surah Sa'd, there are some additional details that give us about the nature of his test, how did his healing happen, how was his health restored, and some additional parts of the story with respect to his wife and the relationship that and the oath that he took and how he had to fulfill that oath, etc. What is the context of this story? In Surah Sa'd, subhanAllah, Mufassirun, they point out something very interesting, is that in Surah Sa'd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about Dawud alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salam on one side. And then he mentions Ayyub alayhi salam. Look at the context. Dawud and Sulaiman alayhi salam were kings, king, son of king. And such a kingdom, لا ينبغي لأحد من بعدي. Such a kingdom over human beings, over jinn, over animals, over the whole creation, that no one ever had a kingdom before Sulaiman alayhi salam like him, nor after. So you have these kings who are enjoying worldly pleasures, worldly palaces and armies, yet they are, of course, obedient to Allah ta'ala. And in that same context, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Ayyub alayhi salam, who is going through a lot of trials on the opposite side of the spectrum. This is teaching us that ubudiyah, slavehood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Sa'd, it goes through two different conditions. Sometimes it's ni'mah, sometimes it's mihna. Sometimes blessings, sometimes trials. But both scenarios can happen upon the ibadullah, the servants of Allah ta'ala. In the time of trials, they are patient. In the times of kingdom and wealth and health and prosperity, they will be thankful, shukr and sabr. That is the context of Surah Sa'd. Surah Al-Anbiya, as the name tells us, the context over there is that there is an entire gallery of prophets, one after the other. Multiple prophets, their stories are mentioned, and in each one there is a theme that is repeated, that they called out to us, Nadina. They called out to us and said, Ya Allah, help me in this. Whether it's Yunus alayhi salam is mentioned there, as we will come to in due time, And Zakaria alayhi salam, I need a son. Yunus alayhi salam, I'm in the bottom of the well, of the subhanAllah. Yusuf was in the well, he was in the bottom of the ocean, in the belly of the fish. All of these prophets are calling out to us. And the recurring theme in Surah Al-Anbiya is, I responded. I answered his call. So that is where we will see the dua. So what happens here, look at this first ayah for Surah Al-Anbiya. وَأَيُوبَ. And remember, وَذْكُرْ أَيُوبَ. Remember my slave Ayyub alayhi salam. We talked about this fi'il mahdhuf, this verb that is hidden. وَذْكُرْ أَيُوبَ. Remember my slave Ayyub alayhi salam. He was from the descendants of Ishaq ibn Ibrahim. Between Musa and Suleiman alayhi salam, his era. عَلَى اِخْتِلَافِ الْأَقْوَالِ. One of the narrations. وَأَيُّبَ is mansub. It has a fatha because it is the object. Remember my slave Ayyub. إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ. When he called out to his Rabb. When he called out. Nada. He called out to his Rabb. Nada. Yunadi munada means to call out. And he said, أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ. Here I am. I have been afflicted with pain. مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ. I have been afflicted with pain. وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And you are the most merciful of all the merciful. So there's so much here that we can see in this dua itself. First thing is, he is calling out nada. When he's calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is calling out in agony. He's calling out in his pain that he's going through. He's calling out in agony, but not complaining. He is not complaining against the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has accepted the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever despair he may be feeling, he's suppressing that. But he is reaching out for help to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, "Anni massani adhurru." The scholars of tafsir, they break down every word. They say, massa means to touch. He is using a very, very weak verb, a very weak da'if fi'il, meaning its action is very weak in nature, something that just touches you. He's not only touched by it, he has been gripped by it, he has been overcome by it, he has been submerged in it, immersed in it, in difficulty upon difficulty, he's drowning, and he's just saying, massa means to just touch. I have only been touched. So he is not attempting to exaggerate his pain. He is in fact on the opposite side, being extremely humble in expressing his condition. And then he says, massa, just lightly touched. What touched him? Dhur. Dhur is all forms of agony and pain, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional. All of the different pains are included in the word dhur. One beautiful point I saw in the tafsir that really touched me is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because from a practical perspective for all of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left it general so that we can copy the exact same words in our dua. And Allah ta'ala did not specify which dhur. If he went into the detail and he said that all my children died, oh Allah, and that was, alhamdulillah, not our condition, then we could not adopt the exact same words as is. But over here, Masaniya, I have been just touched, lightly touched, not exaggerating his pain. Then he said, Dhur is general, all types of pains. Bodily, financial, social, he left it what? Generic. Every ummati can use the dua with respect to their own condition. And then he says, Wa anta arhamur rahimin. And you are the most merciful of all the merciful. This is one theme that we will see recurring when we come to the dua of Adam alayhi salam in due time, bi-idhnillah, rabbana zalimna anfusana. When we come to the dua of our Nabi Yunus alayhi salam, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka. When we come to the dua of Zakaria alayhi salam, many of these duas, we will see this theme. What is the theme? That at the end of the day, when you break it down, they are not explicitly even asking for anything. There's no explicit request. It's implicit. It's meaning it's implied. Why? Because this is the highest maqam of tawadu and humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is just mentioning his iftiqar and his need, and he's expressing that this is my condition. So therefore, remove the affliction is not explicitly mentioned. He's just saying, Ya Allah, this is my condition. Subhanallah. This is called, there's a word for this, iltimasu du'a bithana. You are presenting your need in front of Allah by just praising Him. Saying, Oh Allah, you are the Arhamur Rahimin, and I have been afflicted. Allahu Akbar. There is one tafsir of this, of Allama Qushayri Rahmatullah Alayh, and he says that this could be an interrogative, a question that's implied. And it could be read this way. Ayamasuni ad-durru wa anta arhamur rahimin. Is it possible, if you add the word hamza here, add a hamza istifam, a question, make it into a question. Is it possible, how is it possible that I will continue to be afflicted by these pains, whereas you are the most merciful of those who show mercy? This cannot be so, O Allah. You will definitely bring me out of this. So this is minimal complaint and maximal turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy. In fact, one of the scholars actually went so far as to say that he had radha bil qada. He was pleased with the decree of Allah ta'ala for so many years. He was thrown out by the members of his town and community. He was outside and alone with just his wife helping him. The only reason he ended up after so many years making dua is that the thought came in his heart that I have been in the maqam of sabr, and expressing my sabr and my rada, by being pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for so long, either he got the ilham from Allah or he fell from Allah. At the end of the day, the thoughts come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he reached the conclusion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perhaps wants to see me beg for shifa. Like he has seen from me the beautiful amal of sabr. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also wants to see from me the iltimas that I'm begging Him. So that is why he switched from, while maintaining sabr, he moved on to making dua as well, to seek the pleasure of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does want to see us make dua to Him, ask from Him, beg from Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that level of humility and humbleness. Then we see what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ, we answered his dua. This is, as I told you, in Surah Al-Anbiya, there's a whole series of all of the prophets begging from Allah ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continually responds to each one. We answered his prayer, فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرْ, and removed whatever adversity, whatever pain, difficulty he was going through. كَشَفَ, Allah removed it. وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ, and we granted him back his family. وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ, twice as many. So there are different interpretations of how this happened. One is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Qadir. He will bring us all back to life. That he resurrected those same children back, and he gave him more. Or those children are waiting for him in Jannah. Allah ta'ala gave him additional new set of children. رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا, this is all a mercy from us. وَذِكَرَى لِلْعَابِدِينَ, and a lesson for the devoted worshippers. This ذِكْرَى لِلْعَابِدِينَ is a great bashara for us, that the reward for the sabr, that he got his children back or more new ones, is not limited to Ayyub alayhi salam, but rather لِلْعَابِدِينَ, whoever will be a devoted worship of Allah. We cannot become a Nabi, we cannot become a prophet, but if we are going through challenges, if we are going through difficulties in our life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it's ذِكْرَى لِلْعَابِدِينَ. This is a lesson for all of us. Can we be an abid? We can. We most definitely can, must be rather, an abid. So we could also hope that whatever challenges we are going through, if we continue with this dua, مَسَّنِيَ ضُرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُرْ رَاحِمِينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can also take us out. As we will see in the ayah, what happened is that years and years have gone by. The only one who is supporting him is his wife, Rahma. And she would be doing different tasks and sewing clothes and different menial labor to be able to provide. And she used to feed him and take care of him and take care of his wounds. And then one day she left, and when she came back, by the time she came back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had cured Ayyub alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Urkuz bi rijlik, that hit, stamp your foot on the ground and a spring will gush forth. And this was, it had healing properties. It was a miracle to purify him in, from internal sicknesses as well as the external condition. So he drank the water and it purified his inside, cleaned him and healed him from inside, and he took a shower and it healed him from outside. Zahiran wa batinan. And when she came back, she could not recognize him. She said that, where is my husband Ayyub? He was a sick man here. I'm afraid he may have died and some wild dogs may have grabbed his corpse and taken him away, as very, very tragic news was coming in from Gaza, if you recall, about the dogs taking away the bodies, and the family cannot even go to retrieve the dead body as they will get shot by the snipers and the AI drones. So the dogs were eating the bodies, and the mother is placing her hands on the ears of the children in the camp as the animals are eating the bodies right there. I mean, the animals are eating the bodies outside the camp and the children are sitting inside the tent. But you can't even stop it, because you go out, you'll get killed yourself. Now, Allah. Such zulm was taking place. So the psychological trauma is worse than the death. I'd rather die than children having to hear things like this. The tents are not soundproof, right? So she was afraid that somebody, some dog came and grabbed my husband's body and took it away. And then he said that, no, I am Ayyub. And she said, do not joke with me. Do not mock me. Because I am a woman who has gone through, who is still going through so many trials. I have a very difficult life. And now, you know, do not fool around with me. Please, did you see any animal dragging my husband's body from here? And then he had to convince her that he is Ayyub. SubhanAllah, that is how he was transformed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided him his family back as a mercy and as a lesson for all of us. This, let us go on to Surah Sa'd, as I mentioned, and conclude it. Allah Ta'ala says here, Wadhkur, over here it's mentioned. Remember in the previous one, it was Ayyuba. Over here it actually says, Wadhkur Abdana. Remember our slave Ayyub. This Abdana is an honorific title. Karama from Allah. Meaning Allah Ta'ala is honoring him by calling him his slave. When Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was granted the highest honor by taking him all the way into Mi'raj, up to Sidratul Muntaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Subhanalladhi asra bi nabiyihi, bi rasulihi, bi habibihi. No, he said, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi, laylan min al-masjid al-haram. So, becoming a true abid, the ubudiyya of Allah, becoming a slave of Allah, is the pinnacle of greatness for a human being. The more a person is a true slave of Allah, the higher is his status. Wadhkur abdana, remember our slave Ayyub. Allah is making nisbah of Ayyub, attributing him to himself, my slave, my loyal slave, our servant Ayyub. إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ, when he called out to his Rabb, what did he say? أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الشَّيْطَانُ بِنُصْبٍ وَعَذَابٍ. He said, Shaitan has inflicted weariness and pain upon me. So over here, the wording is a little bit different. Over here, over there, he said, مَسَّنِيَ الضُرُّ. Over here, he said, مَسَّنِيَ الشَّيْطَانُ. So how is this nisba an attribution to shaitan? Some say that, of course, siha and marad, everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an attribution from a sabab perspective, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him some ability to cause some pain to Ayyub alayhi salam as a sabab. But at the end of the day, Allah ta'ala is in control. So just like a virus is a sabab, is a means. But the musabbib al-asbab, the one in charge of all of the means, is Allah. The other tafsir of this is that it becomes a little bit dangerous and a sensitive issue. That's the reason Imam Fakhruddin Razi and others from Mutakallimun, they object on that. Because we're talking about a Nabi. And it could lead to dangerous implications that is a Nabi under the influence of the devil? Shaitan is influencing the Nabi? Na'udhu billah. Because the Nabi is speaking on behalf of Allah. He is conveying the message of Allah. He is relaying the wahi. So how are you going to say that shaitan was impacting him, affecting him? That's going to open the door to other problems. So he vehemently, denies that. He says, no way, that's not what's going on. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran as well that shaitan, his only impact is up to waswasa. And we covered this in detail when we did that whole وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ فَيَغْفِرُ. Remember we talked about the thoughts and the different whisperings of shaitan. He cannot force the hand, he cannot physically change anything, he can only insinuate thoughts. And there's a speech that shaitan is going to give to his followers on the Day of Judgment, which I didn't mention that night. I did mention several hadith about this. Alhamdulillah الَّذِي رَدَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ إِلَى الْوَسْوَسَ. Shaitan's impact is only limited to waswasa. He cannot do anything beyond that. But there is also a speech that he will give to his followers on the Day of Judgment, when the followers of the Anbiya, they will be entering Jannah. The Anbiya will be interceding on their behalf. The Huffaz will be interceding. The Ulama will be interceding. The Shuhada. So what's going to happen is that the followers of Iblis will come to him and say that their leaders are helping them out. You are our leader. We were obeying you, so you need to help us today. Can you not help us out? So a drowning man is clutching at whatever straw is available. وَقَالَ شَيْطَانُ وَلَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ. Shaitan will say when everything has been decided, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ. Verily Allah had given you a true promise. وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. I had made a false promise. وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعُوتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. I had no authority over you. I only invited you towards sin. And you are responsible because you chose to follow me. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي. Do not blame me today. وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Blame yourselves. مَا أَنَا بِمُصْرِخِكُمْ. I cannot come to your aid today. وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُصْرِخِيَ. You cannot come to my aid as well. We can't help each other out. We're going to burn in hell together. إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُمُونِ مِنْ قَبْلِ. I already knew this was, the whole thing was false. So he says that shaitan cannot be impacting him. What does this mean then? So there are different interpretations. So one of them is that shaitan was attempting to magnify the pain in his psyche and push him to have su'ul dhan with Allah and have bad thoughts against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he failed in that, as we can see. Or shaitan was affecting him by turning the people against him. Those people were definitely impacted by shaitan. Who? The people in the town? They turned against Ayyub alayhi salam. They did not support him. They threw him out. All of that pain that he was going through from the people, shaitan was the cause of that. Because what did shaitan do? Shaitan turned the people against Ayyub alayhi salam. At the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of all affairs, and shaitan is limited in his scope. So he called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that urkud bi rijlik. Stamp your foot on the ground. Stomp your foot on the ground. Hada, right here. See, when the help comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's no delay. There was a long delay of the test. But once the test is finished, then the reward from Allah, the victory from Allah, the help from Allah comes immediately. It was not a long course of treatment. The slowly, slowly, you're going to get better and better, inshallah. You go through the round of treatment. The treatment was instantaneous. Mughtasalun, a place for you to take a ghusl and bathe yourself. In a spring, baridun, which is cool, was sharab, and for you to drink. So the ghusl part is the external cleaning, and the sharab is the drinking part, the internal cleaning. Subhanallah. Even when a miracle happens, which is supernatural, we find this theme in the Quran recurring, that there is always some effort from the abd, from the slave involved. Like Maryam alayhi salam, she is a virgin. Mary, virgin Maryam alayhi salam, she is gifted a son, Isa alayhi salam, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she goes from not having a child, being a virgin, to instantaneously, you know, when she became pregnant, she went straight into labor. She did not have 9 months of labor. When the angel came and blew the baby into her. So the whole thing is miraculous from end to end. And after she delivered the baby, she was weak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have just given her nutrition from divine nutrition, go straight into her without any means. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us that He asked her, even in that condition, Uhuzi ilayki bi jidhi'in nakhl, this dry tree under which you are delivering this baby, it's dead, dry tree. It's a miracle. Like, even in this action, it's a miracle. There's a dead tree. Shake the dead tree. تُسَاقِتْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًا, fresh dates will come down upon you. But why the shaking part? If there is a dead tree giving dates, the baby is a miracle, everything is a miracle, A to Z, it's all miracles upon miracles. But Allah Ta'ala wants to see that we do some effort. He's asking Maryam alayhi salam, هُزِّي إِلَيْكِ, shake that branch. Shake the trunk, and the branches will drop down upon you رُطَبًا جَنِيًا, fresh dates from a dead tree. But you got to do your effort too. It can't just come straight into your mouth. So that is why Mawlana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said that having i'tiqad and belief in the asbab can lead to shirk, and completely making tark of asbab is jahala, and making ikhtiyar in using the sabab while believing Allah is in charge, that is a sunnah. Right? The beautiful balance. We have to adopt means. We have to tie the camel and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you say, I'm not going to use any of means of the world, this is jahala. And if you completely believe in the worldly means and you don't believe in the power of Allah, this medicine is going to give me shifa, not Allah. Then that is shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the shafi. La shifa ni la shifa. No one can give shifa besides Allah. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. When I become sick, Allah gives me shifa. So we utilize the medicine and we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the physical effort, those who wrongfully have this batil, wrong understanding, incorrect understanding of just abandoning all worldly means. One of the ahadith they quote or misquote or misinterpret, they quote it correctly but they misinterpret the meaning, is the one of the birds. لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَوَكَّلْتُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ. If you truly had the level of tawakkul on Allah, the way is the right of Allah, لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرِ, then He will provide for you the provision like He does to the birds. تَغْدُو خِمَاصًا وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانًا, they leave their nest in the morning hungry, empty bellies, and they return home in the evening with their bellies full. So then they extrapolate from this that, do the birds have degrees? Do the birds have jobs? Do the birds do anything? Allah fills their bellies directly because of their tawakkul. But you don't really have to stretch it and go out and do a study of the birds. The hadith itself says, تَغْدُو خِمَاصًا, they leave their nest to go out in the morning with empty bellies. So وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانًا, they return home with their full bellies. So why are they leaving their nests? They're not just going for a random tour to see the sights, get a bird's eye view, what's going on, right? They تَغْدُو خِمَاصًا, they're going out to search for risk. So they are making the effort, but they trust in Allah. So along with the effort, there is tawakkul, and Allah provides. That's the whole test. That's exactly what the test is. Because if you had tawakkul on Allah and you would get a ma'idatan min as-sama takunu lana 'eedan li-awwalina wa akhirina wa ayatan mink, like the last supper of the disciples of Isa alayhi salam. If you got a table spread coming from the sky, if you have tawakkul, and if you don't have tawakkul, then you won't get it. Then there would have been no test. The test is that you actually adopt the means and then you don't trust in the means. You trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the physical effort that he did. Allah purified him externally and internally, body and soul. And then the last thing about the wife is here. Subhanallah, what happened is, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ أَهْلَهُ, we granted him back his family, وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ رَحْمَةً مِنَّا, as a mercy, وَذِكْرَى لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, and a lesson for people of reason. Over there it was وَذِكْرَى لِلْعَابِدِينَ, over here وَذِكْرَى لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, those who are intelligent, those who have reason and intellect, they will understand that there is a hikmah in the test, means of purification. It requires a bit of understanding, because outwardly you're going through pain, and how is this a mercy? So that's why Allah Ta'ala says, ذِكْرَى لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, those who have reason, those who have intelligence, if it is explained to them that there is a mercy in it for you, this is a purification of your sins, they will appreciate. Subhanallah. The Anbiya alayhi salam, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَا ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلِ فَالْأَمْثَلِ مِنَ النَّاسِ, the severest trials upon the prophets, then those next in rank, then those next in rank. So it's a lesson for the people of intelligence. And then the wife part is here. What happened? وَخُذْ بِيَدِكَ ضِغْثًا. And we said to him, take a bundle of thin twigs. ضِغْثًا. فَضْرِبْ بِهِ. And strike with it. وَلَا تَحْنَثْ. Do not violate your oath. إِنَّا وَجَدْنَاهُ صَابِرًا. Surely you found him to be very enduring, a sabir, servant of Allah. نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ. نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ. He was really an excellent servant. فَيْلَ مَدَحْ. Praise. نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ. إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ. Surely he was great in turning back to us in tawbah and in praise. What happened here is that Ayyub alayhi salam, he's the only one who was loyal to him in his challenges and his difficulties and his hardships that span years and years, was his wife. To clear the record, he was not upset with her, and for his own sake. This was ghadab lillah. If he became upset, it was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When, as human weakness, and we don't have to say feminine weakness as some people said, right? Just human weakness. She ended up saying some words of complaint against the condition. Not necessarily, I don't want to say complaint against Allah, but she said, how long will this last and why? And what, how much do I have to deal with? When will Allah help me? Something of that nature. So he got mad and he said that, you have complained against Allah. I swear I will lash you 100 times. I'll whip you 100 times. So some people get confused about this, that they think that he was upset with her service or when she was taking care of him, and that's why he got mad at her and said, I'll lash you 100 lashes or whip you 100 times. No, that was not the case. If he was upset at her and he said that to her, I mean, she could have left at any point in the time. No one was compelling her to be there. All external conditions were pushing her to abandon him, but she was very loyal. And he was obviously appreciative of that. He could see that there's no one else besides her among the servants of Allah helping him. So there's no reason for him to be upset with her. For his sake, for his own sake. He got upset for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? That has to be clear. Because a lot of people think, oh yeah, we know about the story where he got mad at his wife and he said, I'm going to beat you up 100 times, I'm going to lash you. And then Allah Ta'ala made a way out. That's one thing to clear the record. Second thing is that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala now taught him a way to get out of his oath. And he said that take very thin strands of wheat or different barley, and you put them together, count 1, 2, 3, 4, like long grasses, long blades of grass, until you get 100 of them together. And with that, you lightly strike her once. So it is like a feather, very feather touch. And so each one is as if you have lashed her once. So if you have 100 strands together of twigs, they're not thorny twigs, but rather they are like strands of grass that he bundled them together, 100 strands of it, and made one, like one broom. And then with that he lightly hit her once, and what happened? He had fulfilled his oath. So there is a macro principle we learn here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is always merciful, and makes ways for his slaves to fulfill their promises. But at the same time, the fuqaha mentioned it very clearly, that we cannot adopt such a hack if we make such oaths in our lives. Because in our Sharia, there is a kafara system. And perhaps in the Sharia of Ayyub alayhi salam, that was not the case. If a person makes such an oath that he wants to get out of, then he has to give a kafara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما عقدتم الأيمان. If you make a yameen, a halaf, and billah, swear by Allah, you're going to do something, and you don't want to do it because you said something in anger and you didn't mean it, فكفارته إطعام عشرة مساكين. You need to feed 10 miskins. أو كسوتهم, or clothe them, أو تحرير رقبة, or free a slave. فمن لم يجد, if you have no money, then فصيام ثلاثة أيام, then you fast 3 days. So this is another scenario where we have two segments of the ummah, the uninformed and the misinformed. So over here in America, those who are growing up, they're uninformed. They don't know anything about kafara of yameen. They never heard about what is that all about. And those from back home, they are misinformed because they all, like the women from back home or men, for them, or whoever takes oaths, they have this concept that if I took a qasam billah, then I should fast 3 days. They go directly to fasting. But that's not what the Quranic ayah says. The Quranic ayah first says you have to feed 10 people. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ If you have no money, then فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ That's the second option. So that is for us that we have, we cannot take this and come up with different hacks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it way easy for him. Inna wajadna sabir, I found him to be an excellent, patient servant. Ni'mal abd innahu awwab. After that, the next Yunus alayhi salam's dua. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us take the lesson from the life of Ayyub alayhi salam. Whatever challenges we may face in our life cannot be as bad as what he went through. How he made dua to Allah with ultimate humbleness. Let us just repeat the dua together before we end the night. That he said, "Anni masani." No, not this one. The first one. "Anni masani." Right. This one. "Anni masani dhurru wa anta arhamur rahimin." "Anni masani dhurru wa anta arhamur rahimin." "O Allah, I have been afflicted by pain, and you are the most merciful of those who show mercy." So, extreme level of humbleness and humility. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not test us, but if he does test us, then grant us a sabr like he granted that to Ayyub alayhi salam. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.